The chair calls Dr. Roland Calafoe to speak against the Texas Medical Board. Did I mess up your last name, Doctor? Okay, good. Okay. Hey, what do you expect from Aggie?
Well, I appreciate you having this hearing. I actually flew down here from West Virginia, where I now practice.
Doctor, if you'll just give your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Roland Calafoe, Jr., D.O., neurosurgeon. Dear members of the hearing panel, despite the efforts of the Texas State Medical Board, I'm still Dr. Roland Calafoe, board-certified neurosurgeon. Despite Dr. Calafoe's tirade to the press, and quote her discussion or her statement, according to our standards in Texas, he is a continuing threat and would endanger the public, and we did not feel that he would be able to safely practice medicine again, said Dr. Roberta Calafoe, the Texas Medical Board's president. She said that, obviously, and as a result of the statement, actually, two things. One is it was said after I'd received my medical license in West Virginia. But more importantly, it shows callousness on her part, as well as a little cowardly response. But nonetheless, she's obviously wrong, because since she made that comment, I believe back in 2005, I'm actually in West Virginia. I've been practicing there for about two and a half years now. I've returned to the practice of medicine, treating many patients in West Virginia, which I'm very, very happy to do. I've been asked to give lectures by medical societies, interns, residents, and other professionals who know about my situation in Texas. Therefore, I have a difficult time understanding how a statement like that could actually be said, but nonetheless, it was said. Essentially, my history is not too difficult, and I'll be as quick as possible on that. I moved to Fort Worth in 1995 after finishing 10 grueling years of medical training, which involves 4 years of medical school, 6 years of neurosurgical residency. Within 2 years, I was then able to complete enough proficiency to receive my board certification in neurosurgery, which is one of the toughest residencies around. I practiced until July 19, 2002. When the TSBME, and I forgive me, but I'm used to the TSBME terminology back then, because it changed to TBM or TMB after I left the state. When they suspended my medical license following a three-minute meeting in the board's hearing panel, when I suddenly was given a list of 18 allegations, which had occurred 3 to 6 years earlier, and in that meeting, actually, Dr. Patrick was there, I know it for a fact, for practicing below the standard of care. 3 months later, in front of an independent SOA judge, five of these allegations were completely thrown out. During the hearing, the SOA judge heard testimony from 25 experts in my defense, colleagues that I had gone out to find to review my charts, including hospital administrators, department chairmen, as well as patients that I had actually treated, who were very happy to discuss that they were very happy with the care they'd received by me. That was against the TME's three questionable experts, and we'll talk about experts after I'm done with this as far as what I would recommend that you folks look at in terms of trying to save Texans from some good hard-earned money that they're spending for this board. Essentially, one of them was later found to have perjured himself and eventually lost his hospital privileges in Colorado. One who admitted he didn't have experience in performing these kinds of cases that I had done, and on the record even said that my license should not be revoked. And a third physician, who himself had been the target of numerous lawsuits in the Houston area, one in particular accusing him of being what's called a ghost surgeon. That's when a surgeon actually works with an older surgeon that finds patients, and he operates them, not the initial doctor, but the ghost surgeon, they call him. Anyways, what had happened with that was that he had failed to obtain an intraoperative x-ray because he had never really examined the patient. He just was told to go operate this level. And then he was later found to have operated the wrong level by that person. Again, this was a TSBME expert. Following this case, this individual actually left Houston and moved to Waco, Texas. Be quick, during my hearing, which lasted about 2 weeks because we had a lot of information to go over, the judges tossed out numerous charges in the board's complaints, saying basically they were hearsay, lacking any evidence, and or not following the rules of evidence. Final findings after months of investigation They recommended that my license should not be revoked. In spite of these findings, however, the mandates made by SOA, the board blatantly disregarded their recommendations and arrogantly usurped their authority and proceeded to revoke my license in July of 2004. The three things that I want to show that you and I be more, again, I believe in transparency, would love you to look at the website regarding the PFD and things like that regarding my case. But to be real quick, number one, that's actually part of the board's record. And that's the thing. You need to look at what the board writes and what they do. Because this is where I think a lot of the doctors are having a problem with, and the public needs to know this also. Number one, that the period in practice or in question, 1995 to 2002, my surgical post-surgical complication rates fell below the national average, despite the fact that many of these patients were high-risk patients, below the national average. Number two, had no improper motives with respect to the treatment of this patient and was motivated to provide appropriate treatment. And number three, had to deal with some post-surgical complication caused by the hospital staff errors. As a result of TMB's action, and this is where we'll discuss the last part, I left Texas with my wife, two children. We basically had no choice. We were being kicked out of Dodge, so to speak, and went to West Virginia, where under the guidance of one of my expert witnesses, Dr. Julian Bales, a very knowledgeable and fine chairman of neurosurgery, invited me up after I had to prove to the West Virginia licensing board that I was actually competent. They actually reviewed the charts that they had here. Anyways, after reviewing that, I took a refresher course, and within 6 months was offered a position as professor at WVU's Department of Neurosurgery in June of 2005. The medical board's criteria, again, for issuing my license included full disclosure of what had happened at the TSDME, as well as a complete review of the actions. Despite the fact that TSDME had revoked my license and my family and left the state, Dr. Califoot, I forget what day it was, I think it was back in July of 05, had the audacity to essentially, I currently got wind of my new venture, and essentially, effort to try to continue my case, this time through the media, she essentially made these claims to the newspaper. Having stripped me of a medical license in Texas, now the board, through its president's action, attempted to go outside of its jurisdiction in an effort, in the last word, is with regards to my career, as evidenced by my licensure in West Virginia and also my relicensure in Michigan, because they had ultimately held my license initially. The board must have been feeling somewhat vulnerable, since their actions were now essentially overturned by two other state medical boards, the West Virginia Board and the Michigan Board, both with equal authority in the United States. As usual, the board resorted in the end to the one tool they've never failed them in their efforts to scare the public. That is using the press, the media. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Dallas Morning News, are replete with stories in and around 2002 of Dr. Patrick's crusade to use vigilante justice to out the bad doctors. My branding by the TSBME was based on the unfortunate death of one patient that had a giant aneurysm, who had a poor prognosis to begin with or without surgery, a patient who had a large AVM, whose condition improved dramatically after I performed the delicate brain surgery, and who later testified on my behalf during the board's proceedings. And unfortunately, the reason why there was an issue is that she was apparently not given her medication by a nurse, despite the orders, which were clearly identified in the chart. And so the patient unfortunately had a seizure. And lastly, a patient with a CSF lead. Excuse me. Being given the 3 minutes at the time of my initial hearing, again, I don't find this to be essentially due process. None of the allegations had occurred in or around July 19, 2002, and therefore, once again, I do not understand the definition of clear and present danger. These were all cases that were old. There was nothing. Since that time, I had done over 500 cases of patients. So, again, I don't understand the immediacy of just stripping a guy of his license, because they know that that's basically that's the only way you're going to defend yourself. Again, it seems very obvious, and they may obviously deny it, but the TMB, under the direction of Donald Patrick and Dr. Califoot, were determined to rid themselves of me, despite the fact that neither they nor their experts were ever able to prove that I was a serious threat to the public. Dr. Califo's actions demonstrate that they were willing to cross state jurisdictional lines and resort to using the press once again to continue trying their case in the court of public opinion. Since their case against me essentially had failed at SOA, which we all thought was supposed to be the deciding factor in these cases, since they're supposed to be objective, independent, etc. Essentially, what needs to occur? I have just a very, very quick list here. Define clear, continuing threat to the public welfare. Again, obviously, if a doctor is inebriated, taking drugs, and having poor outcomes during that week, it would make sense. But we're talking about things that have occurred years ago. And essentially, like I said, out of 18 cases, at best they could find is three things wrong with me. I dare them and any other agency to show me any neurosurgeon with has only had three problems and still has lost their license. That, to me, would be a pretty scary proposition. Enforce accountability. No one from the TMB should be able to be immune and or held and not held accountable for any of their actions. The burden, according to the Sunset Committee, as far as I understand, because I worked very hard with the Sunset individuals, was to encourage accountability. What I'm hearing right now, several years after, is that that's not entirely happening.
Doctor, I don't know if you picked up earlier, but this gentleman right here, the guy that represents Texas Tech, is the new chairman of Sunset.
Oh, okay.
And I think the remarkable thing today about all the members that have shown up here and been part of this hearing today,
yeah,
is that they come from all different committees. We have chairmen from a number of different committees besides our subcommittee,
okay,
on regulatory and appropriations. So, yeah, we have a lot of, okay, members that are very serious about
the fact that
all of you are here today.
Like I say, even though I'm currently living in West Virginia, I'm more than happy to help, do my best to try to make things better for the doctors here in Texas.
And we appreciate that very much. And I'm just sad that we lost you to Virginia.
One of the things one of the things I would like you folks to think about is we need to have some kind of a scoring floor chart, because I'm also hearing that when it comes to penalties, I don't quite understand the penalty practice here in terms of what's a fine, what is, what's considered to be a 30-day probation or whatever. I think somebody needs to write that down as far as almost like a cookbook where you do this, you get that, you do this, you do that. It's almost like what they do in the civil system. In terms of the one thing I would like to bring up, and again, it's not probably not the right area for it, but hearing what I'm hearing today also, why not offer or ask the TMB to review or reopen some of these cases whereby doctors' licenses were revoked, especially if SOA did not want them revoked?
Yes, sir.
Maybe we need to take a better look at this, because why is it an independent body, and in my case, we had three judges looking at this. Why is it that they were all of a sudden overruled by one state agency? So it sounds like we were having a problem with state agencies. So there would be some kind of middle person there, I think, to help that out.
Yes, sir.
Lastly, I guess, in terms of the ISC, there's been a lot of talk about the ISC, and I unfortunately went to an ISC, obviously. When the experts, and I love experts, I think there should be experts in this, but when an expert reviews somebody's chart, and let's say they're not quite appreciative or they don't agree with that doctor, they are never there for the ISC. They may have written a report that the two board members are reading. But then, as a physician, we have to explain it to the board member. I would rather be able, and I would think most people would be at it, again, know your accuser, see your accuser. If that other person, that other expert has a problem, why is it that you can't have a debate in front of the board member to see exactly what's going on? That, to me, would make more sense. I mean, we're supposed to be cordial, not antagonistic.
Yes.
That's exactly what, unfortunately, I went through, is antagonism. And lastly, regarding Dr. Miller, again, I wasn't here for that, but are we going to be reviewing all of Dr. Miller's cases where he was an expert? I mean, I would be a little concerned about that. I mean, again, lies false, particularly when you revoke someone's license, it is akin to a death sentence. Okay?
Yeah.
If our prisoners are going through death row with appeals, why aren't we doing something about our physicians who are not supposed to be villains? So that's pretty much what I have to say. I'm sorry. I think it was worth my time coming down here because, like I said, I was in San Francisco giving a lecture, and I made sure that I came down here for these hearings.
Well, we appreciate it very much. And again, I'm just sorry that we lost you to another state. If you will, would you give us a copy of your testimony?
And
before you leave, I think Representative Riddle has something that she'd like to...
Mm-hmm.